Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Tzadi Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a specially marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top at the Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, we note at the side a topic heading we call the Nosei, Hamevayesh es Chavero, someone who caused embarrassment to his friend, Venigram loy tsar mikach, and he experienced pain as a result, Benoisif l'tashlum ala boishes, in addition to the payment for the boishes, for the embarrassment that was caused, yesh levakesh mimenu slicha, it is essential for the offender to request forgiveness from the victim. The Mishnah, afal pi shu noisein loy, even though all the necessary payments were made for the offense, ein nimchal loy ad shiyavakesh mimenu, there is no forgiveness until you ask for the forgiveness. There is no atonement until you ask for forgiveness. Shenemar, we cite a posuk from the Chumash in the incident where Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, took Sora from Avraham, and the Almighty intervened and said that you have to give back Sora to her husband. And it says, V'ato hashev eshes, and it goes on to say in the posuk, eshes ho'ish ki novihu v'yispalel b'adcho. We'll see this quoted in the Gemara. And we learn from that incident that Avimelech needed to ask for forgiveness from Avraham Avinu, so that part of the din, part of the ikur hadin of atonement for embarrassment, beyond the payment of boshes, is the request for forgiveness. Uminayin shim loy mocha loy shuhu achzori. From where do we know that if the victim doesn't offer forgiveness, that he is considered a harsh individual? Shenemar vayispal Avram el Elikim vayupo Avram Elikim es Avimelech. The pasuk describes Avram Avinu as, after having received his wife in return, then praying on behalf of Avimelech. That indicates that he certainly forgave him. Then, and the Mefarshim say that it wasn't even necessary for the Torah to record that Avram forgave him, because that's what you're expected to. That's Ikur Hadin. But beyond that, Avram Avinu even prayed on Avimelech's behalf. And the Almighty hearkened unto Avram's prayer and enabled Avimelech and his family to be healed from what they suffered, as you will see later in the Gemara. Ha'imer samo eseini, kita es yodi, shaber es ragli, chayav. If someone says to his friend, blind my eye, or cut off my arm, break my foot, and the listener actually does it, chayav means he, the one who did that action, has to compensate. Almanas liftor, chayav. If the victim who made this strange offer says, do so on and with the understanding, that with the condition that you will be exempt, you're not, that doesn't work, the offender will still be chayav. Now, in contrast to, we'll say, this bodily type injury, which involves also significant pain, we have the following. Kra es ksusi shaver es kadi. Person offers someone to go ahead and tear my clothing or smash my jar. The offender who does so, chayav, he has to compensate. it won't be, he will not have an excuse to say, well, the owner told me to do so. However, in this case, almanas liftar, if along with the request is this condition, on that do so on condition that you will be exempt, potter, in fact, there is exemption. So the offer of exemption in the case of bodily injury and pain, that offer of exemption doesn't have any legal effect. But in the case of an article being destroyed with the offer of exemption, there is exemption. Asay kein leish ploni amanas liftor. If I say do so and so to so to someone else on the with the condition you'll be exempt, chayav, there is culpability, bein begufo, bein bemamona. Not only if the damage is done to the third party's body, but even if the damage is done to that third party's articles. Before we go further, we note at the side of the Gemara, under our topic heading, the no say, Droshos Psukim Mimaisavi Melech Ulekicha Sora. We're going to see Psukim that are darshan, that are explained relating to that particular story that we referenced before in the Mishnah, where Avimelech had taken Sora from Avram. Ultimately the Almighty intervened, telling him to return the wife. So Tanu Rabbana, Kol Elu Shamru, all of the money payments that we've spoken about paying for Boshes, a Sela, a Mone, Mosayim is 200, Dalid Me is 400, Debe Boishoso, that covers the damage of boshes, of embarrassment, avol, tsaro, the emotional pain over the boshes. Don't confuse this word tsaro with tsar that we've seen in the past that's associated with the pain, the physical pain. Here, we're dealing with the emotional pain of the embarrassment. Afilu hevi kol elei nevoyos sheboilam. Elei nevoyos are high quality rams that one might bring as a sacrifice. So even if one brought all of these rams as sacrifices, ein nimchal loy ad shivakesh mimenu, person does not achieve forgiveness until it is requested from the victim. Shneimar, the pasuk says by Avimelech and Avram, hashev eishes hoish ki novi hu vayispalo badcha, return the woman to her husband, and the pasuk says, it seems to say, because he is a prophet and he will pray on your behalf. The Gemara raises a question about this pasuk, a little strange here. It says, Yeshus Novi Boy Aduri, Yeshus Acher Lo Boy Aduri. If a person took someone's wife, is she returned only because she happens to be the wife of a prophet, as was the case with Avram? Boy Aduri means needs to be returned. But the wife of someone else, the wife of a commoner that was taken by another man, would not have to be returned. Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rabbi Yonason. So he explains the pasuk as follows: Hashev Eisha Soish Mikol Makom. First of all, you have to return the wife to her husband under all circumstances. Udeko Amris, and you'll ask Hagoi Gam Tzadik Tarog. Hello, this is a pasuk from the Chumash where Avimelech says, "How in the world?" He says to the Almighty, "Would you even think of punishing me? I'm totally innocent." And then we'll see how the pasuk contains a response to what Avimelech is claiming. So, as the Gemara said, Udekarmus, and you will claim, you Avimelech will claim, Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarog, would you kill a righteous individual? Hallo, who Omar Li Achosi He? He told me, referring to Avram, he told me that it, she wasn't his wife. He told me that she was merely his sister. But he gam he omro achihu, and she confirmed that by saying that Avram was her brother. So you, Avimelech, will claim innocence on those grounds. So now the Almighty continues. Novi hu, he is a prophet, and as a prophet, he was also responsible for public education. Ukvar li made, and he, Avram Avinu, already taught. He promulgated the following etiquette, following behavior that people are expected to practice. Achsonoi shebolayir, a traveler that comes to repose in a particular community, al iske achilo shtir shoylemoso. The locals, the innkeeper, if you will ask the individual about his eating needs, his drinking needs. Oh, al iske ishto shoylemoso, ishtechahi achoschahi. Would he ask about the woman that accompanies him? Is this your wife? Is this your sister? No. You have to explain it beyond the words of the literal words of the Gemara. The intonation of the Gemara is of importance here. Those kind of questions, the townspeople are not expected to ask. In fact, it's not even right to ask. Digging into someone's privacy. And if they did ask questions like that, caution the traveler concerning the locals. What are you asking about this? About my wife for leading the traveler to become very suspicious, and as a result to take we'll say defensive measures. For example, misrepresenting the woman that you are going with. In the incident involving Avimelech, there was an understanding that if they were interested in taking a woman, if she was married, before taking her, they would kill the husband. A strange type of conscience that they had, but knowing that she has no longer any husband, that would appease their conscience, whereas if she were still married, that would upset them. And the only defense for the traveler is to preserve his own life would be to present her as a sister. Hence, she's not married, and the traveler would save himself while they take his wife. So Avraham Avinu forewarned, he told the public, don't cause travelers to be worried, and hence try to misrepresent the facts. So your asking him of questions like that caused Avraham Avinu to misrepresent. So you are the guilty party for having asked those questions after having known, as a result of Avraham being a Novi, a prophet, and hence someone who taught the public proper behavior, and you violated it. And that's why, says the Almighty Tavi Melech, that you are really subject to being executed for taking her. Mikan, from here we learn, Leben Noach, Sheneherag, Shehoyolo Lulmod Velo Lomad, that a Noahide is considered guilty, even of a capital punishment, for matters that he should have learned and didn't, so that the excuse of, well, I didn't know about it, is no excuse when you're dealing with something that a person should have known. The psukim go on in the story involving Avimelech. It says, Ki otzor otzar Hashem ve'ad kol rechem lebeis Avimelech, as a result of Avimelech taking Sarah, taking Avraham Avinu's wife. The pasuk speaks of a closing up. Now the word appears in a double form, otzor otzar. The pasuk at face value speaks about the closing up, be'ad kol rechem, all the wounds of the women folk of Avimelech's household. Omar Rebbe Lozer. Here you have a double underline marking, and on the side we have a note that says Shalosh Deyas Lahasbir Mispara Tziros Baposuk Yotzer Otzar Hashem. We have three different opinions to explain the repeat of the word Otzar, to close up, to withhold, in the pasuk. What was closed up? What was Otzar Otzar? What was that? So Omar Rebbe Lozer, Shtei Atziros Halo L'Lama, the two closings or withholdings, what are they representative of? Achas beish shichva zera u'shtayim beisha shichva zera v'leida. There were multiple atziros. Atziros again is the closing up. One that affected the menfolk, their ability to produce shichva zera, male seed, semen. Shtayim beisha, two in the case of the women folk, their shichva zera and leida and birth. B'masnisa tana shtayim beish, two in the case of men, shichva zera uktanim. Ktanim is a reference to fluid, the liquid waste urine coming forth from a person. So in the case of men, you have the shichva zera, the semen would not emerge, and the ktanim urine would not come forth. Shlosha beisha, three in the case of women. Shichva zera, we didn't explain the line before, but it's a reference to the woman after the male seed enters her body, the ability for her to release it is the issue, and that was withheld, that was stopped, she couldn't release it. And uktanim, the leida, her liquid waste and her ability to give birth. Ravina Omar, shalosh beish, three were withheld in the case of men. Shichva zera, uktanim, upi tabas. Pi tabas is a reference to the orifice from which forth emerges the solid waste of an individual. So those three were withheld in the case of menfolk. And arbo'a beisha, four in the case of women. Shichva zera, v'leida, uktanim, upi tabas. Bi'ad kol rechem, the pasuk we just cited before, is focused on now. Amri debe Rabyanai, afilu tarnegelis shel beis avimelech lo hitilo beitzasa. The pasuk says that there was a withholding of all the rechems, all the wombs of the beis avimelech. The all comes to include even the chickens of the household of Avimelech could not lay their eggs. Omar lay Rova l'rabo bamori. And here we start a rather long series. In fact, this will continue till Tzadi Gimel Omer Aleph, through the balance of today's shiur. The house marking appears, and you'll notice on the side we have indicated Mivneh, the structure until Tzadi Gimel Omer Aleph. The house represents She'elo Shel Rova l'rabo bamori, if I'm not mistaken. All of these will open up with Rava asking Rabba Bar Mori, Mino Ha Milsa, from where do we know the Omer Rabbanan, something that the rabbis teach, and likewise another house marking, Mino Ha Milsa, the Amri Inshi, what is the basis of a common saying? The distinction you can see in the house marking, the colored in tip, will be those questions involving from where do we know the rabbinic saying. Those that don't have the colored in tip, which is the overwhelming majority of them, will be the what's the basis for the common saying. As I scan ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice, as I said, the majority of them are the common sayings. Numbers 1 and 4 and 5 would be those that introduce the rabbinic sayings. So now the Gemara. Minoha milsa di omer rabbanan, from where do we know that which the rabbis say? Kolamavakish rachmim al chavero v'utzorach lo'isa dover hu nene t'chila. He who requests from heaven praise on behalf of his friend, and the one who is praying in fact needs the item himself, the one who puts in the request will be answered first. Answer: where do we know that from? Omar le dichtiv. Rabba answers: Vashem shov es shvus Iyov behispallo ba'ad re'ehu. Iyov is a person who had suffered a great amount of setback, and it says in the pasuk that the Almighty returned to Eov, restored Eov, while as he was praying on behalf of his friends. Omar Lay at Amris Mehasam. So Rava says, well, you say from over there as the source, Vano Amino Mehacha, and I say from here. Vayispalel Avram El Holakim, Vayirpo Elikim Es Avimelech Ves Ishtoi Vamoisov. The topic we discussed before, where Avram prayed on behalf of Avimelech, and his household were healed. Uksiv Vashem Pokad Es Sora Kasher Omar. And the explanation of this pasuk is Kasher Omar Avram Al Avimelech. We look together in the Rashi, the upper part of the Rashi commentary, Pokad. The language, the verb form, doesn't say vayivkod and then the Almighty answered Sora. Uksiv pokad, mashma pokad kfar tchilul Avimelech. And again, it said the Kodesh Baruch Hu was pokad. Pokad is an expression indicating that the Almighty turned his attention, remembered Sora's plight, and answered her needs even before those of Avimelech. So that you have Avram Avinu, who was childless, who prayed on behalf of Avimelech for him to be able to bear children. And in the meantime, the Almighty had already responded to Avram and Sarah's needs for them to bear children beforehand, before Avimelech. Omar Le Rava Le Rabo Bar Mori Menoha Milso De Amri Inshi. From where do we know the common saying? Bahadi Hutsa Loki Karbo. Together with the Hutsa, the Karbo is afflicted. What are we referring to? When someone comes to uproot a Hutsa. Hutsa, in this context, is associated with a thorn. Someone is weeding his property, and he has also vegetables growing in the property. Karba is a type of vegetable, a kruv. So that the common saying is that together with the uprooting of the undesirable, of the thorns, sometimes the desired also get afflicted. While you're tearing out the weeds from your garden, you might end up tearing out some of the vegetables you've planted there as well. Omar Lei, so Rabo Bar Mori answers, Dichtiv, Lomo Torivu Elai, Kulchem Poshatem Bi Nu'um Hashem. The Almighty responds to the situation at hand and says, why are you, and you in the plural, why are you contentious with me? All of you, now this term, all of you, kulchem, means even the prophet was included, all of you have sinned against me. Now the prophet obviously was righteous, he did not sin. But nevertheless, in the Almighty's, we'll say, anger or discontent, which is the Almighty's response to the wicked, the Novi was included in it. Omar Le at Amris Mehasam. So Rava says to Rava, you cite that as the source. Vano Amino Mehacha, and I cite this alternative source. Ad Ono Me Antem Lishmor Mitzvosai Visorosai. Until when the Almighty addresses the Jewish people and says, until when will you resist keeping my mitzvos and Torah? And when he says, when he's addressing them, he's including in that Moshe and Aaron. Now Moshe and Aaron were righteous Torah and mitzvah observant individuals, and yet they're included in this, hence the description of that which we gave before. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and you can, by all means, use your bracket length indicator. You'll see an angular type brackets. This is really not for skipping purposes, but there is a, we'll say, a the Gemara sidesteps the series for the next few lines, and three lines from the bottom, the Gemara will pick up with the Menoah HaMilsa series. So in, within these brackets, you'll see there's another question that Rava poses to Rabba Bar More, but as we said, it's not part of the series. You might want to note already ahead of time, we're going to encounter another, we'll say, internal brackets, we'll call the circular type brackets, and we'll explain them when we get there. So now the Gemara. We continue reading straight. Omar le Rava l'Rabba Bar More. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, U'miktzei echov loka chamisha anoshim. In the encounter of Yosef, his brothers, and Paro, after the brothers arrived in Egypt, it says, and he took from the Miktzei Echov, from the, literally from the edge of, or part of his brothers, he took five of them. Man Ninhu Hamisha, who were the five that Yosef presented to five, which five of his brothers did Yosef present to Paro? Omar lay, so Rabbo answers, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Oysun Shehuchbulu B'Shemos, those that whose names appear in a double form in Birkas Moshe, the blessing of Moshe in Parshas Dvorim, in Sefer Dvorim Parshas Vezois HaBrocha, you'll notice amongst the names amongst the tribes that were blessed, some of their names appear in a double form. We've listed the psukim on the side of the Gemara, and Rashi also, he lists the names of the tribes where you find this. They include Zvulun, Gad, Dan, Naphtali, and Asher. What was the significance of those particular brothers? So they were the brothers that were weaker, and and hence the need for doubling their names to increase their strength, so to speak. And they needed, as Rashi says, they needed chizuk, they needed strengthening, and that's why the names are doubled in the psukim. What was Yosef's calculation here? So that Paro, seeing them weaker type fellows, he wouldn't choose them, wouldn't draft them into his royal armies. The Gemara now asks, are you saying then that this Huchpulu B'Shemos is associated with some type of weakness? Yehuda Nami Ichpuli Michpal. We find by Yehuda, who was known as a very great warrior, a very strong individual, his name was also doubled in the psukim there in Sefer Dvorim. Omar Le, so Rabbo answers, Lemilsei Hu Dichbal. Yehuda's name was doubled for a specific personal need that is going to be explained now in the Gemara. Now, the reason we have these brackets is to indicate that as far as the question is concerned, we just heard the answer. That which appears in the brackets is essentially a development or an expansion of the answer, but the main answer was that Yehuda's name was doubled not so as to increase strength for him, but rather because of what we'll see now in the bracketed section. The Omer of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer of Yonason, my dichtiv, it says in the psukim there in Vezos HaBrocha, Yechi Ruvain Val Yomois V'Misov Mispar Vezos Liuda. That's the pasuk. Now the Gemara gives us some background. Kol Oisin Arboim Shana Shoy Yisrael VaMidbar. All 40 years that the Jews were traveling in the desert during the Exodus from Egypt, the skeleton, the bones of Yehuda, were jumbled up in the coffin. It goes without saying that upon the exodus of the Jews from Mitzrayim, the bodies of the 12 sons of Jacob were brought with the Jewish people for burial in Eretz Israel. They were brought out of Egypt. The skeleton of Judah was in a jumbled, disarranged form in the Oron. Ad shebo Moshe ubikesh rachamim, until Moshe Rabbeinu came and prayed. Omar Lufonov, the jumbling of the bones is a result of Yehuda himself when confronting his father, Yaakov Avinu, in the attempt to convince Yaakov to release Binyamin for the trip to Mitzrayim in order to deal with the viceroy who was unbeknownst to them at the time, their brother Yosef, in order to get food and everything else that's recorded in Chumash Bereishis. Yudah, in trying to convince Yaakov, said that if I don't bring him back, then I will be considered of having sinned to you. And the Pasuk says, Kol Hayomim. Kol Hayomim, all days, which would indicate that I will bear the sin even into the future. Now, Binyamin was saved. No harm actually befell Binyamin. But since he brought upon himself, that is, Yehuda brought upon himself this curse, even if the conditions for the curse were not met, the curse nevertheless comes. Based on a saying, and Rashi quotes it, that Kilulas Chochem Afilu Al Tanai He Ba. So that even if the reason for the curse, as he said, the Chatosecha Kol Hayomim, wasn't, the conditions weren't actually met or fulfilled, the curse nevertheless set in. And that's what we see here, that was manifest by the fact that his skeleton was in disarray. Enter the picture, Moshe Rabbeinu prays on behalf of Yehuda, Omar Lefonov. The prayer now of Moshe Rabbeinu on behalf of Yehuda, Ribbono shel Olam, mi goram l'Ruvein shiyoda. Who was the cause, maybe the incentive, to have Ruvein admit his having sinned? The Pasuk in the Chumash records Reuven having sinned with regard to, we'll say, the sleeping schedule of his father with his respective wives, and Yehuda had intervened in a wrongful fashion in that particular, we'll call it, sensitive matter. And Reuven eventually confessed that he had sinned. Well, who was responsible for that? Who motivated Reuven to confess the sin? It was Yehuda. Yehuda had confessed a type of a wrong that he was involved with. There was an issue concerning his intimacy with his daughter-in-law, with Tamar, and he was recorded in the Chumash as saying Tzadka Mimeni. Without getting into the details of the story, needless, all we have to focus on is the fact that Yehuda confessed, he admitted, seeing Yehuda's admission, Reuven also admitted. So Moshe Rabbeinu says asks in a rhetorical fashion, who caused Reuven to admit? Yehuda. So you see that Yehuda had this, we'll say, element of righteousness about him. Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, and here we're quoting from the Psukim. If you'll notice in our markings, we have underlined a number of phrases. These are all parts of the Pasuk that constitute Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer on behalf of Yehuda. So that the Pasuk, if you just focused on the underlined section, you would see a Pasuk where it continues to say later, it's a V'el Amo Tevienu, Yodov Rav Loi, V'ezer Mitzorov Tiyeh. So now, these phrases constitute Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer on behalf of Yehuda. The pasuk we just read was Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, where Moshe prays on behalf of Yehuda, saying to Hashem, listen to his voice. And what resulted was all Evarei L'Shafa. The limbs of Yehuda's skeleton, then each bone entered the appropriate socket. However, lo havu ka maski lemisifta derekia. In the meantime, though, the soul of Yehuda was not entitled to enter the heavenly yeshiva. The mesifta is the Torah, place of Torah learning, derekia, in the heavens. V'el amo tivienu. And with that, so literally, and unto his people allow him to enter, so Yehuda was able to enter the heavenly yeshiva. However, he didn't reach his prime, though. Lo havi yada mai ko amri rabbonon ulemishka lemitrach bahadi rabbonon. Even though he entered the yeshiva, he still didn't understand what the others who were already there were saying. He had no ability. He lacked the ability to have a give and take with the rabbonon in the heavenly yeshiva. Yodov rav lo. So with Moshe Rabbeinu praying that, he reached that. He achieved the ability to conduct himself in Torah discussions. However, still there's more to go. Lo hava solik le shmeitz aliba dehilchasa. He might have been participant in Torah discussions, but his words, his opinions, did not ever reflect the final accepted law. And with the following, the Ezer Mitzorov Tiyeh, with Moshe Rabbeinu continuing his prayer, Yehuda achieved that. So that in the heavenly yeshiva, not only did he understand and participated in the Torah discussions, but eventually what he said was accepted lehalacha. You naturally can see here, by the way, just a general lesson for each one of us, that in Torah learning there are, we'll say, levels of Torah learning. There's, of course, being in a Torah environment, that's an initial level, entrance into a yeshiva. There are those that have great difficulty understanding the Torah, but nevertheless they participate, they enter, they want to be in a Torah environment. That's praiseworthy. Beyond that is not only just to be there, but to be able to participate in Torah discussions, say things that are sensible, that are logical, even if it's not the last word. Nevertheless, that's more praiseworthy than just being there. And finally, the Torah learning that one is engaged in is a Torah learning where he reaches final conclusions by which he will live. To be Masik Shmaita Liba de Hilchasa, that's the highest form. Now we go back to our list of questions of Minoha Milsa. Omar Le Rava Le Rabo Bar Mori. Minoha Milsa de Amri Inchi. What is the basis of the saying amongst people, Bosser Anyo Azla Anyusa? Poverty follows the impoverished. Omar Le Disnan. We have a Tanaic source that reflects that very idea. This source deals with the mitzvah of bringing the bikurim, the first fruits. The ashirim, it says, the wealthy, mevian bikurim, bekalsus shel zohav v'shel kesef. Kalsus is a type of receptacle. Receptacles made of gold and silver. And they would bring the fruits to the kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, in these expensive baskets. The kohen would receive the fruits, and the owners would receive their baskets in return. In other words, the baskets were not, these receptacles, these gold and silver receptacles, were not left to the kohanim, just the fruit content. V'aniyim, the poor, when they would bring their bikurim offering to the kohanim, notice we've dashed underlining because this is the focus of the point. Besale nitzorim shel arava klufa. They would bring their first fruits in woven baskets made from reed material. Arava klufa, without getting into a literal translation, but it's a reference to a reed material that was used for making baskets. Hasalim v'habikurim noisten lekarem. In their case, not only did they part from the fruits, but their baskets also went to the Kehanim. So that here you have the poor losing, so to speak, their baskets, indicating that poverty, in this case the loss of the baskets, has a way of following the poor, the aniyim who brought their bikurim. Omar le ad amris mehasam bano amino mehocha. So Rava says in response, you cite that as the source. I say from the following. We continue at the top of Amid Beis. He cites a pasuk dealing with the mitzora. The mitzora, a person who's afflicted with tzoras. It says, V'tomei tomei yikra. He calls out, he proclaims publicly that I have been afflicted. So not only does he suffer from the pain of the tzoras, but he also has to embarrass himself by publicly proclaiming that I am defiled. So there you have this idea that someone who's already in the midst of a setback of pain, he has to experience additional pain. That's Boser Anya Azla Aniyusa. Omar Le Rava Le Rabo Bar Mori. Minoha Milsud Yom Rabbonon. What is the basis of the following that the Rabbonon say? Hashkem, get up early, ve'echol, and eat. Bakayetz me'achamu v'chorif me'atzina. In the summer, the early eating will protect you against the heat, and in the winter, against the cold. V'amri, and there's also a comment saying, the Amri Inshi, here you have in this discussion actually two sayings, one of the Rabbonon, and here we also have Amri Inshi, and that people say, Shisin Rahuti Rahut Velamotu Legavro the Mitzafro Korach. 60 runners can run, and they won't reach the man who breaks bread in the morning. In other words, the one who eats a breakfast will have more strength and alacrity than even 60 runners. So where do we know these from? The significance, we'll say, of eating something in the morning. Omar le, so Rabba answers, Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, Lo yiravu velo yitzmo velo yakem shorov v'shemesh. Pasuk indicates lo yiravu, if they don't famish themselves, in other words, they'll eat and drink, so they won't be afflicted by the heat and the sun. Omar le at amris mehasam vano amino mehacha. You cite that source, and I cite the following, and we have here a long point. Take note of that. The pasuk says v'avadetem es Hashem elokechem, and once again, you notice with the underlining, we're highlighting phrases from the same pasuk, which goes on to say, "Uveirach es lachmecha ves meimecha vasiroisi machlo mikirbecha." So now we break the pasuk down. Vavadetem es Hashem lekechem zukriya shma utfila. That's a reference to the pasuk says, "You will serve the Almighty." How does one serve the Almighty? Through the kriya shma and through prayer. Shmoyne Esrei, Uveirach es lachmecha ves meimecha. What is that a reference to? The blessing of your bread and your waters. Zu pas b'melach v'kitin shemayim. That's a reference to eating some bread together with some salt and a flask of water. Umikan v'elech, if one does that, he prays in the morning and right after that eats something like bread with a drink of water. Mikan ve'elef, beyond that, havasiroisi machlo mikirbecha, and literally I will remove sickness from amongst you. V'tanya, now we're going to elaborate on the word machala. This Tanaic source tells us machla zu mora. Machla is a reference to mora. Mora is often translated as the gall within an individual. V'loma nikra shmo machlo. Why is that limb or that organ called by the word machlo, which is associated with ailment? Because sheshmoinim shloisha chalolim yeshba machlo begematria achi havu. there are 83 chaloim, ailments, that originate in this particular limb or this organ. And the number 83 is the numerical value of the word machla, where a mem is 40, ches 8, and the lamed another 30, so it's 78, and hey, 5, 83. V'kulon pas b'melech shachris v'kitin shemayim mevatlan, and all of these ailments are avoided, are canceled by the morning bread with salt and a flask of water. Omale Rava l'Rabba Bar Mori Minoah Milsa D'Omer Rabbanan Chavroch Kariach Chamra Uchpo L'Gabef Moish. The if one's friend calls you a donkey, take a donkey's saddle and put it on your back, so that if one is insulted by one's friend, go along with the flow, so to speak. Where do we see this idea? Amar le dichtiv, the pasuk vayomer. Vayomer is the angel addressed Hagar. Hagar was the concubine of Avraham Avinu. She was Sarah's bondmaid. And the Malach says as follows: Hagar shivcha sarai, emi ze bas v'anot lechi. After she was cast out of Avram's house, the angel appears and says, Hagar, you the bondmaid of Sarah, from where are you coming and where are you going? Vatomer, and she answered, Mitnei sarai givirti anochi borachas. Now, what have we done? We've dashed, underlined, givirti. She says, I am running from Sarah, my mistress. The Malach referred to her as a shivcha, as a bondmaid. So she, in response, acknowledged the reference to her, to herself as being a bondmaid, by saying, I'm running from my mistress, my owner. So that embarrassment of being referred to as a bondmaid was something that Hagar responded to in kind. She flowed with it, as we said, and said, "Yes, I am a bondmaid, and I'm running from my mistress, Sarah." Omar le Rava l'Rabba Bar Mori Minoah Milsa Damri Inchi. From where do we know the following common saying? Milsa Ginoah Diizbech Kadim Amra. A person that knows he has some type of, let's say, negative characteristic. If one is aware of his negative gnaw, milsa gnaw is one's negative trait, volunteer it or speak up, say it before someone else says it to you. So if someone, let us say, has a miserly nature, when addressing someone else, you say, I am a miser, and therefore this and this. Say it before the next guy says it to you. It hurts more when someone else records your negative trait. So in order to diminish the potential pain, say it about yourself first. Omar le dichtiv. So Rabba answers, the pasuk says, this pasuk is in the context of the slave of Avraham Avinu, whose name was Eliezer. And Eliezer met up with the family of Avraham, with Lavan and family, in seeking a mate for Yitzchak. So in Eliezer's encounter with them, Vayomer, and Eliezer says, Eved Avraham Anochi, I am the slave of Avraham. So he announced ahead of time that he is a slave, referring to himself. Omar le Rava le Rabba Bar Mori Minoah Milsa D'Amri Inchi. What is the origin or the basis of the common saying? Shofil v'Oziel Baravza v'Einei Metayfi. the goose walks over in a bent fashion. However, its eyes are peering ahead into the distance. So even though it appears bent over, very humble, if you will, but nevertheless, it's aware, its eyes are on the future. Rashi adds, quite importantly, in the upper part of the narrow lines, Shofil v'yazil, klomar. Klomar, whenever you see that in Rashi, the explanation that follows is beyond the simple translation of whatever we're dealing with. So he explains, machmas an v'sinuso shalodom, just because a person may be humble in his deportment, lo yehi boish mi lishol dover atzorech lo, he shouldn't be embarrassed to request something that he needs, bein l'tora, bein l'panasoso, ulitvo achovo, whether it be a request of a Torah nature, of an income nature, or of claiming a debt that's owed to him. So even though you may be a person may be humble, that doesn't mean that he has to forfeit things that he actually needs and deserves. So from where do we know this? The Gemara answers, this is from the incident involving David HaMelech and his encounter with Avigail, who was the wife of Naval. Her husband, this Naval, was a, we'll call it, to put matters lightly, a very problematic character. Ultimately, he is eliminated, and Avigail, who had the prophetic powers, says as follows to David, "Dechti v'heitiv Hashem l'adoni v'zocharte es amosecha." She's saying, and eventually, remember me. She's prophesying that her husband will die, and I'll then be available and have me in mind, so to speak. Omar le Rova le Rabo Barmori Minoha Milsa Damri Inchi. From where do we know the following comment saying Shisin Tichli Matya le Kocha de Kochabri Shoma Velochal? Again, it's a common saying, so the literal version is 60 pains will afflict the teeth and the mouth of someone who hears his friend eating and is not offered any of it himself. I can use common examples. I don't know if our listening audience will if everyone would relate to it, but you can have a situation where someone is, let us say, sitting next to someone who's opening up a bag of fresh potato chips, and he's munching away on it, and he's not offering you any of it. Do you feel a sense of, say, discomfort at that time? And that can apply to any other example. Everyone can fill in whatever appeals to them. So the question here is, what's the basis of that saying? Omar le dichsiv, the pasuk says, and v'li ani avdecha l'tzadok hakayin uvnei ben Yehuda l'shlomo avdecha lo kara. Here in the encounter at the end of David HaMelech's life, prophet Nosson Hanovi says to David HaMelech that he and the others that were cited in the pasuk were not invited to the feast that Adoniah, the, we'll say, a wayward son of David that had established at that time. We were not invited. So you have the again, we're not getting into all of the details of the biblical episode. However, the idea that we're extracting from this citation is that they over there were having this big feast and we weren't invited. We continue in the Gemara, Omar le, at Amris mehasam, v'ano amino mehacha. Vayevial Yitzchok Ela Sora Imoi, Vayikach es Rivka, Vati Loli Isha, Vayavel, Vayinochem Yitzchok Achere Imoi. The Pasuk describes Yitzchok Avinu's meeting with his new wife Rivka, and Yitzchok takes her into the tent where his mother used to live. And right after, you see Yitzchok, the son of Avraham Avinu, Yitzchok taking his wife, becoming a newly married individual. Uksiv Basrei, following it says by Yosef Avraham vayikach isha ushmal ketura. Avraham Avinu then takes a wife for himself, and her name was Keturah. What we see here is that Avram experienced a sense of we could say jealousy. Rashi says Niskana b'Yitzchok, jealousy of his son taking a wife. So he too took a wife, again reflecting the idea of the Amri Inshi of Shisin Tachli Mati Lekocha Dekol Chavri Shama V'lo Ochal. So he saw, Avram saw Yitzchok taking a wife, so he too wanted to do the same. Omar le Ravo le Ravo bar Mori Mino ha Milso de Amri Inshi Chamro le More Tivuso le Shakye. The Chamro means, in this case, the wine. The wine may be owned by the master, by the king. Nevertheless, the thanks that you express for the wine that you receive, you offer to the Shakye, to the wine butler, to the one who's serving you the wine. As Rashi says, Hayayin shel melech hu v'hashoysin oisei machzikin tovo l'sara mashke v'lo l'melech. The wine, though, comes from the king. You will be thanking the one who is serving you the drinks. Omar lei dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'somachtes yodcha olav l'man yishmun kol adas b'nei Yisrael. The Almighty charges Moshe Rabbeinu at the point of, we'll say, transition, that he shall place his hands upon Yoshua, who will eventually be the successor, the leader. Uksiv, and it says Yeshua ben Nun mole ruach chokhma ki samach Moshe es yadav olav, and Yoshua became imbued with the spirit of wisdom because Moshe Rabbeinu had placed his hands upon him. Vayishmu elav b'nei Yisrael, and when you look at this pasuk, the credit, so to speak, is given to Moshe Rabbeinu, as if he is the one that imparted the wisdom to Yeshua, when that wasn't really the case. The wisdom came to Yeshua because of the Almighty. Nevertheless, you see that the one who was the intermediary, Moshe Rabbeinu, being the vehicle through which the Almighty transferred the wisdom to Yeshua, the credit is given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Omar le Rava le Rabba bar Mori Minoha Milso de Amri Inshi Kalba b'chafne gloli mivla. A dog in his famishment, in his starvation, will consume even gloli. There are two pshatim in the Rashi as to what glolim are. One pshat is the dog will eat even stones. Another pshat is glolim, referring to waste, to solid waste coming forth from the animal. So, in other words, we could say that if someone's really hungry, he's not going to be fussy about what he eats. Omar lei dichtiv, the pasuk says, nefesh sveya tavus neifes, v'nefesh re'eva komar mosik. The satisfied individual will repel even that which is very sweet and pleasant. However, the famished soul, even that which is bitter, will appear to him as sweet. Omar lei rovo l'rabo b'amori, menoha milsa d'amri inshi. From where do we know the common saying, Matayel v'ozil dikla bisha gabikina desharchi? The common saying says that the dikla bisha, the bad quality palm tree, goes to where the barren trees are growing. Amalei, so Rabba answers a very unique answer. You'll notice that we have a double underline, a series marking. If we just just look at that. Actually, we can just read on in the Gemara. You'll see his response is as follows: Dover zeh kasuv b'tera shonoi b'neviim u'mishulish b'ksuvim u'tnan b'masnisin v'tanina b'braisa. I don't know if you find anything else as elaborately based as this. It's something that you find in the Torah, repeated in the prophets, third time in the writings. It's taught in Mishnaic and literature, and ultimately in Brisa literature. So this idea is very, very well founded. Kasuv b'Torah, dechtiv vayelech Esav el Yishmael. Esav being an example of someone who is wicked, and Yishmael also being like that. So the likes meet up with the likes. Hence a reflection of the bad quality palm tree going to a barren type tree. Shonui b'neviim, repeated in the prophets, dechtiv vayislaktu el yiftoch anoshim reikim vayetsu imoi. The empty ones all assembled together with Yiftach, and they went forth with him. Umishulish b'ksuvim, a third time you see this idea of tiv kol oif l'minoi yishkoin uvnei adam l'day meloi. It's pointed out that this really is not a pasuk in our holy writings, but it appears in a work that dates back to very early times called Ben Sira. So the pasuk indicates that all birds according to their variety, and men will dwell with their own kind, their own likes. Tanan b'masnisin, in a Tanaic source you find, in a Mishnah source, kol amechuber l'tomei, tomei, kol amechuber l'tor, tor. That which is attached to something that is defiled itself becomes defiled. And that which is attached to something that is tor, that is remains pure, it too will be pure. Now Rashi gives a further explanation of this. There is something called an unkali. An unkali would be a type of nail or a hook that one attaches to various items. So if one attaches the unkali, it's a metal nail, to something that itself, to an article that absorbs defilement, so that unkali too will become defiled. If, however, the unkali is attached to something that does not become defiled, like a flat piece of wood, so that hook or nail itself will not be subject to becoming defiled. The Gemara continues with the Tanina Bebraisa. Rabbi Elezer Omer. Now, this is Rabbi Elezer as opposed to the opinion of the Chachomim. Lo lechinam holach zarzu etzel erev elo ne shehu mino. According to Rabbi Elezer, who, as I said, opposed the Chachomim, Rabbi Elezer says that the zarzir is a type of unkosher variety bird. And Rabbi Elezer, to make his point, says it's not for naught that the zarzir went to the orev. The orev is a well-known unkosher variety bird, because the zarzir is, like the orev, an unkosher variety. So that you see again this idea of the likes find the likes. The wicked will tend to join up with others that are wicked. Omar le Rava le Rava bar Mori Minoah milsudamri inchi Koris chavroch velo onoch Rami guda Rava shodi bay. If you called unto your friend, you tried to offer him counsel you chastised your friend in order to straighten out his ways, and he remains doesn't respond. Well, if that's the case, then say goodbye to him, so to speak. Literally, is cast a large wall on him. Omar le, yan tiartich lo tihart, mitumasech lo tetari od. I tried, the pasuk says, I tried to purify you, but you resisted purification, so you will no longer ever become purified. Omar le, rovo le rabo bar mori, minoho milso damrienshi, biro deshosis mine lo tashdi bekola. The pit from which you drank water, don't throw into it clods of dirt. Omar le dichtiv, the pasuk says, lo sisayev edomi ki ochichuhu, velo sisayev mitzri ki ger hoiso baartso. Do not hate the Edomite, for he is your brother. Do not disdain the Egyptian, because you dwelt in his land. Historically, we know that the Egyptians hosted the Jewish people the time of Yaakov Avinu, in the time of famine. They were welcomed into Egypt, and one has to remember that. And as a result, do not have disdain and hate toward the Mitzri. The Mitzri being the pit from which we drank water, and don't throw into it clods of dirt. Omar le rovo le rabo bar mori, minoha milsa diamri inshi, idolis dura dolina, the iloi loi dolina. We take a look at the Rashi. He says, more or less across from here, he says, idolis dura dolina, im tidle vetagbia hamasli imi dolina. If you help me pick up the load, I will do so. In other words, if someone needs help, and I come along and offer help in picking up his load, I expect the owner of the load to help as well. So that if I say to him, if you come and join, I will help you. Otherwise, I'm not. Rashi elaborates a bit on this point, and looking at the Rashi, let's read from the Dibur Masli, Idolis Duro Dolino, Im Tidlev Tagvia Masli Imi Dolino. If you pick up the burden along with me, so I will do so. Dura, that word, Masli, a burden, a package, a load. Moshalhu, it's an example, it's an analogy. She'ein Odom Roitzelikones Besakones Hezik Momon Vitachas Oil Dovor Elim Kein Mishtativ Chaveru Imo. Person is not going to enter something that's questionable, something where there's lack of security or danger that's involved. As Rashi says, sakonis hezik moment, a type of, we'll say, dangerous or precarious type of financial investment, unless someone goes into it together with him. So where do we get this, where does this saying come from? Omar le dichtiv, Vayomer Eleo Borok, Im Telchi Mi Volachti, Im Lo Telchi Mi Lo Elech. Borok was an army general at the time of Devorah the prophetess. And Borok says, if you accompany me to the scene of the battle, so I will go. And if you're not going to go with me, I'm not going. Omar Le Rovo Le Rabo Bar Mori, Menoa Milsu Diamri Inchi, Kara Vinon Zutri, the Gavri, Hashka de Kashishna, the Dardiki. The common saying is that when we were young, we were viewed as important individuals. Gavri meaning as men. So when we were young, we were considered like real men. Now that we're aged, we're viewed as children. And we're treated offhandedly, lowly, like children. Omar le, meikor aksiv, Hashem hoylich lifneim yoimum, b'amudonon, lanchoysim aderech v'laylo, b'amudesh lo'yer lohem. Initially, when the travel in the desert began at the time of the Exodus of Egypt, so we'll call it in the early stages, so the Almighty himself, so to speak, Kivyochol, went in front of them by day with the pillar of cloud, and at night directed them with a pillar of fire. However, Lebesof, toward the end, Ksiv, we continue at the top of the Aftzadi Gimel. It says, before their entrance into the land of Israel, Hinei Anoichi Sheileach Maloch Lefanecha L'shmorcho Baderech. I'm sending my angel. Up till now, when they started out, the Almighty Himself accompanied them. That's the sign. That's a sign of their significance, prominence. But as time went on, the aging factor, the importance that they experienced earlier was no longer. Where the Almighty agreed only to send His angel to go. Omar le Rova le Rabo Bar Mori. Minoa milso di Amri Inchi. Bosser Mori Nichsi Tzivi Moshoch. Following the owner of large amounts of property, Tzivi Moshoch, there are different explanations. Tzivi, one, is a stream of oil, of fats, flows forth. Another explanation might be Tzivi is a reference to wood fragments. The idea here is that in the presence of the wealthy man, so you'll find those that are drawn along. Omar le Dichtiv, the pasuk says, "Vegam l'loit ha'hilich es Avram hayotzayin uvoker ve'oyalim." Avram Avinu was a very wealthy man. And the pasuk describes Lot as going along with Avram, and he too had accumulated a large amount of flock and herds of cattle and tents. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.